Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we make really good lemonade. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey, of course. Who else is here today?
Christopher Antista, the number one Simpsons fan, better than anyone in this room.
Henry Gilbert, the real Ghostbusters fan in this room.
Brett Elston, the actual real best fan.
And today's episode is Itchy and Scratchy and Marge. And if you couldn't tell by the title, this is the episode in which Marge tries to get violence removed from the beloved cartoon Itchy and Scratchy. And this episode aired December 20th, 1990, the last episode of 1990 for The Simpsons. And what happened on this day in history, Chris? Five days before Christmas.
Oh boy, Bobby! Oh, this day in Simpsons history, the TMNT movie is released on VHS by Family Home Entertainment. Oh. HBO's Comedy Channel and Viacom's Ha merge together to form Comedy Central, and Home Alone continues its dominance at the top of the box office.
I see. Now, on that TMNT VHS, was there a heartwarming Pizza Hut commercial?
Yes, there was.
Featuring a baseball team.
Way out where the dandelions grow.
That is some timing that they're like, yeah, 5 days before Christmas, let's just sell it to people. Not a month ahead of Christmas and sell millions of copies.
It's perfect.
Just 5 days. Those FHE people,
World was slower.
It's not only slower, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, the first movie, it is in the record books as the highest grossing independent movie of all, because nobody wanted anything to do with
it. It's crazy. It's New Line, right?
New
Line put it out, but
they had no
produce it. Nobody wanted it.
They had no VHS distribution, so Family Home Entertainment had to step in and
with
release
their shitty Crayon logo.
Yes,
FHE.
Yes, that usually release like stupid like learn to read videos.
Well, they did the cartoons for the Ninja Turtles, on tape, the VHS tape.
But it's just insane. Like, you as a little kid and an adult, like, really, no one wants this.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go get a bank loan and I can make this happen.
We're talking about how slow the world moved. The Ninja Turtles movie opened 18 months before the VHS tape was released to the public.
I always remember Jurassic Park came out in, like, June of 93, and the VHS was October 94.
It was
a year and a half.
Guys, read the oral history of the Ninja Turtles movie that Hollywood Reporter did this year. It's amazing.
So if we're done with this week in Simpsons history, just a few notes about this show. It's based on a housewife's letter writing campaign about Married with Children, in which she took issue with an episode in which Kelly and Peg go bra shopping, and I believe the offensive phrase was over-the-shoulder boulder holder. Which was tossed around a lot in my second grade class.
No pig.
They did so many more disgusting things on that show. Yeah. That was the one that got her.
But the thing is, like, this made the show hugely popular. Like, this letter writing campaign made Fox like a name. Like, people were hearing about Fox now, hearing about Married with Children for the first time. Like, so controversy made it popular.
Something ribald, no doubt.
This episode was also the highest rated episode.
Ooh, wow!
Of FXX's Every Simpsons Marathon.
I see,
but that's not like.
Is that because it happened super early in the run of the marathon?
I think people maybe skipped, I don't like the first season, and jumped, like, maybe timed their day to jump on at this point. But what I thought was more miraculous about it is that syndication is so weird with how they air episodes. This was the first time in history since the show aired that is aired first run on Fox Television, maybe a rerun a couple months later, that the world was experiencing the same Simpsons episodes at the same time. Because normally you go home in syndication, they're not playing the same episodes that are broadcasting in Branson or Tallahassee, Florida.
Thanks for the Branson.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.
Well, that 2 week period of every Simpsons ever was just amazing. It was like,
so your Twitter was alight with like Simpsons jokes that like you can't make because you know no one's watching the same episode you are.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful moment.
We're all on the same page again. Mm-hmm. And this episode also is the debut of Jim Reardon, my favorite director on The Simpsons, who directed episodes such as Homer Goes to College, my favorite episode in terms of animation, and Mr. Plow. And he also made the short Bring Me the Head of Charlie Brown.
Yes.
You must see this short. It's on YouTube. It's totally...
We just put up an article with a thing in it.
Oh, cool. Okay, awesome. Like,
what is it? Weird Snoopy merchandise?
Yeah, it's Weird Snoopy merch. It's a bonus entry because it is unofficial, but it's like... It was a YouTube video 30 years before YouTube existed.
Exactly, yeah.
It was just this animator who had the crazy idea of what if Charlie Brown murdered everybody? What if the Charlie Brown characters just killed each other in black and white?
And it is so... It looks so perfect. It's hilarious, and it's on YouTube, and Jim Reardon is narrating it, and I think doing voices too. You can hear it. It's fantastic. You can see why they hired him. It's so subversive and great. So yes, this episode is itchy and scratchy and margin. How does it open? I totally don't remember.
I have a clip that I don't remember either.
Okay.
A pinch of margarine.
You know, Marge, you make the best pork chops in the whole world.
Oh, now Homer, they're nothing special. The extra ingredient is care. A sprinkle of chervil, half a teaspoon of turmeric, and a whisper of MSG.
Oregano.
See, I do remember this line because it's the first time I ever heard this line, and I use it all the time, and I can't believe Bart said it.
Hey, down in front.
Shut up, boy.
Down in front?
Yeah. I've never heard Down in Front before, and it took me like years to see it again in like a 1940s movie.
It feels very old-timey to me.
Yeah, like, why did Bart say that? But Homer gets his head caved in?
So Homer, number one, after I watched this episode, I think I definitely asked my mom to make pork chops for the first time ever. I was like, can I have pork chops? Whatever.
And again, I'm turning Homer's age, and I like pork now. I've never liked pork in my whole life.
It's a turning point. Becoming middle age, of course.
And then it turns on this running joke they pretty much dropped that Homer's bad at building stuff. I guess it pops up every now and then, but it's more just included. Like, Homer's bad at everything.
At everything he sets out to do.
He'll be bad at that,
but that
too.
Spice rack had become kind of a shorthand for, like, when you can't do something well, or, like, I'm going to try and, like, hope I don't spice rack this thing. Like,
and I also like that he had... This is a joke that is so outdated now, but a wall of encyclopedias, like, such specific encyclopedias.
Like, the Time Life collection of, like, handicrafts or whatever.
The Handyman's Guide.
I do think a spice rack is, like, the first thing you make in, like, wood... Woodworking class, or that, or like a birdhouse.
Hard, even if the spice falls out of the wreck, it's not that big a deal.
And so while Homer is building this, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie are watching an Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, and of course Maggie is influenced directly to hit Homer on the head with a mallet while he's working.
A great Psycho reference.
Yes, exactly. One of the first, like, shot for shot, like, specific, not like, oh, this is just an illusion, Citizen Kane. It's like, no, this is a shot we're going to recreate with the show.
I think it's their first Hitchcock.
Well, how do you feel about that now as renowned Family Guy haters?
I feel like
it's a specific reference that licensed the music.
They were first to the table, as in, like, thing one meets thing two equals comedies. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think they evolved beyond that and started having to add more to the equation than just, like, these two things don't belong together.
They're still 8 years ahead of Family Guy, by the way, on that. But also, I made the note
that they didn't make that their jokes are entirely based in cutaways.
Right. Yeah.
But I
they do a fair amount of cutaways.
That's for a different... Talking Griffins, that's coming soon.
Oh, thank God.
Finish over there.
Okay, physically speaking, Maggie, a baby, is strong enough to pick up a mallet.
Uh-huh.
Could she possibly hit Homer with enough force to knock it, like...
Your issue is with the heaviness of the hammer, right?
Uh-huh.
Gravity's going to do part of that work.
I guess, but...
I'm putting on my best hypothetical sports commentator.
And I think also Homer is incredibly... Like, he's just a terrible human. Like, everything is... Like, he's weak. He can't build anything. He's stupid. Like, of course a baby would knock him out, you know?
That's part of the joke, I don't know what this line is.
Vision's responsible.
Hey, we were watching that. What are you doing?
Well, you won't be watching these cartoons anymore, ever.
But, Mom, if you take our cartoons away, we'll grow up without a sense of humor and be robots.
Really? What kind of robots?
No, that wasn't even the line. This is my line of the show, because Homer's hit over the head and has to call in sick for work.
That's the joke.
You heard me. I won't be in for the rest of the week. I told you. My baby beat me up.
Oh, it is not the worst excuse you've ever heard. I think I might be my line of the show. Actually, no. We'll get to that later. But
so Marge writes a letter to the filth purveyors of Itchy and Scratchy, and we have her first RIP for this episode. Alex Rocco, sadly.
Yeah, Alex Rocco. Man. Was he Moe Green in The Godfather?
Yes.
So we have
a death jingle that we never use.
Death stalks you at every turn. There it is. Death!
That's Alex Rocco, Moe Green in The Godfather.
I think he died this year, and he has such a great voice. I love his voice so much. And like, I think Hank Azaria filled in for him twice.
Did he?
Once was in the front, and the other one was in Itchy and Scratchy Lane. Was like, here are two tickets.
Oh,
that was Hank Azaria. Yeah,
here are two tickets, but there are five of us. Here are two tickets.
That's better.
When it was when it's one line, they wouldn't get Rocco in. Though with Joe Mantegna, they would. Mm-hmm. Like anytime Fat Tony showed up, Joe Mantegna said, "If he belches, I'm that voice."
Here he is writing his letter.
Try to tone down the psychotic violence in your otherwise fine programming. Yours truly, Marge Simpson.
Take a letter, Miss White. Dear valued viewer, thank you for taking an interest in the Itchy and Scratchy program. Enclosed is a personally autographed photo of America's favorite cat and mouse team to add to your collection. In regards to your specific comments about the show, our research indicates that one person cannot make a difference, no matter how big a screwball she is. So let me close by saying...
And the horse I rode in on!
Yes.
I'll show them what one screwball can do!
All right, so now as an adult, I'm thinking, did he actually tell her, go fuck yourself in the horse you rode in?
Exactly, I did not get that as a kid.
Not at all.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I think in the second season of any animated show, they do their show about animation.
Yeah.
And I feel like South Park did this with the show episode Death, where they've introduced Terrence and Phillip. Like, you think our show is bad? Yeah. Here's the bad show that you would hate
Stimpy's
if it was
cartoon,
real.
Yeah. Wow! Yeah,
Tiny Toons did it.
It happens
like
a lot.
Beavis and Butthead. Like, I mean, you're in this environment. You have to write about the process. So that's what they're doing here.
You're writing about your life, and your life has become cartoons.
There's a great Sailor Moon episode that is they go to an animation studio. It is just about how great animators are, and like how good the art, how hard the artists work.
Well, there were also a couple notes I made before we got to that was like one that when they forbid them to watch the cartoons, they just go to their friend's house, which is exactly what you do with anything your parents forbid you from doing. And then two, when everybody else was reading the letter, like they stuck with the continuity of Krusty being illiterate, which I appreciated. He couldn't read the letter. He was moving it up and down.
And
then the animator who crunches it up is Wes Archer, or it's a parody, it's a drawing of Wes Archer that would then be turned into a black man who would be one of the nerds in Homer Goes
actually,
to College.
Actually, I'm going to double nerd you, Henry.
Oh, shit!
It's actually Eddie Fitzgerald, who never worked on The Simpsons, but worked on things like Ren and Stimpy, Tiny Toons.
Double nerd back!
And with Ralph Bakshi. But that's Eddie Fitzgerald. But
you win this round, Bob!
Wes Archer's the dude with the beret.
Right, in that. He's the guy with the beret. Yeah. Wes is...
And also,
that's the beret. David Silverman has the curly hair and the Homer beard line.
That's right. And Eddie Fitzgerald, Pinky from Pinky and the Brain, is also a caricature of him.
Whoa!
With the two buck teeth. So there you go. I know this, and I have nowhere else to say it. So
you're welcome.
I'm abusing you with my knowledge.
I do love the guy's voice, though. The detached like delivery of this angry CEO, head of a studio.
But just like the personality. Have you met any human being with a voice like that in your entire? Are they extinct?
I feel like it's a different lifestyle. Like you need to be drinking whiskey from age 8, like
cartons of cigarettes, morning whiskey.
It's me.
If you weren't already smoking them down in the 70s, like
we're all gonna sound like Aziz Ansari in 10 years.
All just high voice nerds.
I've started a crusade against cartoon violence. Mm-hmm. I can protect my own children, but there are many others whose minds are being warped every afternoon at 4.
Oh. That reminds me. I gotta get over to Milhouse's and play sports.
All right.
And I'm going over to Janie's again. We're gonna be, making the most of our childhood years.
Have fun.
We will.
I do want to point out that Moe's sign in the protest says bring back wagon train.
So that's...
And Miss Skinner's sign says destroy the violent people.
So they talk about this in the commentary, but this episode was written by John Swartzwelder, who loves Itchy and Scratchy, and also is they attribute the bring back wagon train sentiment to him.
He would say that,
he would literally say that. Yeah, they should bring back wagon train.
He is the old-timiest guy around.
What the fuck is wagon train?
Nine?
It's kind of what inspired Star Trek in a way.
Oh, like a Western?
Yeah.
It's one of the many, like...
They're like a convoy, like,
from town to town,
exploring the West. Yeah.
So, like, this episode, like, I think, like, we're all podcasting about pop culture. I believe we probably all had permissive parents, right? Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Were you guys ever not allowed to watch something? Like, that happened with me, with kids I knew. Like, I can't watch Ren and Stimpy. You come here to my house. We'll watch Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. Like, that was, I think my parents were still under the impression, like, if it was animated, it was Yogi Bear, so watch away. I think if I was watching Married with Children, they would have said no.
Yeah.
But The Simpsons was fine and enjoyed by the entire family.
I think I got one questionable comment from a parent during Married with Children. Like, should you be watching this? I'm like, I'm okay with this.
And yeah, I got
like,
it. Okay. I got it, Mom.
Yeah. I think, we didn't have HBO in my house, so they Me didn't either. Have to. I think because then they didn't have to worry, like, hey, you're not watching anything that they... like R-rated. Remember, whatever you're watching is fine.
I had to get permission via phone call from my parents before my friend's dad would let me watch Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5, The Dream Child.
Jesus. Could be scary.
And because they were on the phone with another adult, mm-hmm. they just said yes. Yeah. Which, like, that was completely forbidden in my house. It's you know what? Don't do what you were going to do because my kid's there. I'm an asshole.
Yeah, right. For some reason, my never really came up. Like, Simpsons was fine, and then I'm like, I want to go see RoboCop 2. And they're like, let's go. And then I have to imagine my parents, after taking me to see Predator 2 and RoboCop 2, just have to walk out and still not be like, you can't do that
RoboCop
anymore. You're 10.
RoboCop was the perfect example of a no-no in my house. Yeah. My I think it was probably the enemy of NPR, so my dad hated it. all my friends were talking about it. I'm like, please, can I? And I had to have someone like Bob bring me over to the house and show me RoboCop.
So then good old Snuh is there, which is they're finally doing a takedown of the PC police.
Yeah, man.
I guess we do have to address that now that political correctness is back, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, like, at least
it does
for some
factor
people.
Into the end of this episode. Something I don't like about it.
I agree with you, Bob, that the I prefer the term that Miss Hoover coins later in the series, which is PC thug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And PC thug, you're the reason women can't find a man.
It's more dead white male bashing from a PC thug.
Yeah, exactly. I love that line. PC thug is better than PC police. People should say that.
I think thug has more connotations now, so it's a tricky situation to work yourself into.
Now that's what I call a sticky situation. But this isn't about South Park. But
so at some point, Itchy
were talking about South Park?
Henry was for one reference.
Oh, so failed. I didn't even see it.
Itchy and Scratchy eventually do take Marge's advice because Snod has an effect. I believe one of the acts ends with a bunch of mail trucks carrying mail from outraged parents to Itchy and Scratchy. So like, why doesn't Itchy and Scratchy get an ice cream cone? Like, no, make it a pie. Pies are easier to draw. Like, there's a lot of like negotiating, like, how do we make a cartoon without violence? It's going to be so weird.
Well, no, there's so many great, well, before they change everything, like, there's so many great scenes in there that, like, first off, when the parents are at Krusty's show, I wrote down, why did Krusty's producers allow the parents to come in there? Like, Krusty shouldn't be surprised, like, hey, where'd the children go?
When a bunch of surly adults walk in,
Yes.
I would like the letter writing scene and the, like, the pie's easier to draw scene. Like, having worked at Capcom for 4 years and then now watching this as a company that, like, you're going to get a lot of praise and you're going to get a lot of negativity. It's just the way companies that are in the spotlight work. Like, some people are going to be happy all the time. Some people are going to be angry all the time. So watching that from that letter writing campaign, I enjoyed that from a different perspective. But also the pies are easier to draw thing is such a lot of things that we think are magical or really on purpose.
It's because pie-based solutions.
It is a pie. Yeah. It is a
pie-based compromise.
In this game, why did you guys decide that? We ran out of time.
Like, I mean, the example won't get anybody in trouble is that, like, why does Mario have a mustache? And it's like, because we couldn't draw any other significant feature on his face.
Yeah, we need to indicate face on this character.
Yeah, it's always this practical, boring reason. And even for things that piss you off now, it's just, like, some boring business reason that's not going to satisfy your curiosity.
Also, my parents had to explain to me who Jane Fonda was when Homer started. And all the women in the world, I had to marry Jane Fonda.
And I guess he's forced to eat a TV dinner at some point.
Yeah, I have a clip called
damn,
that.
The TV dinner line.
I didn't know they still made TV dinners this bad.
After dinner, can I watch cartoons?
No.
There's peas in my fruit cobbler.
There's peas everywhere.
Well, I guess I'll just go and watch some cartoons.
No. I'm sorry about the dinners. I'll make up for it tomorrow night.
Hey, who's up for some cartoons?
No one.
Hey, tomorrow night, how about making some of your patented pork chops?
Sure. Oh, dear, I can't. I've got 3 protest rallies tomorrow.
Don't! 20 million women in the world, and I had to marry Jane Fonda.
Wow, I think that's
pretty sure there's more than 20 million.
There are way more than 20 million women in the
world.
That could
be Homer's
dumb
joke.
3 billion.
Yeah, I think, Homer's too
dumb. No, it has to be a reference to the 91 population.
Well, even then, it would have been 2 billion women in the world.
There's peas everywhere. That's one of the few...
that's so good for TV.
Still think of that?
That is one of the few Simpsons lines that I'll say, like, once a week, and no one reacts to. And I'm like, the TV dinner thing? Like, what?
I've also never heard the phrase TV dinner in like 20 years because I think like dinner was a much more formal process where it's like, okay, you're eating frozen slop, you're just going to sit on the couch for this meal.
Everybody eats everything microwave.
Yeah. Pretty much,
And in front of the television.
And then, and then also the parody they make of Marge on the show.
Shit.
The squirrel, one of the best moments ever. I love it so much.
Take that, you dumb squirrel!
I remember back in the day, like when you would call a friend just to talk on the phone, and you would just talk for like an hour. I remember it was like this is probably second or third grade, and being like, "No, friend, listen, Simpsons is really funny," and he'd just be like, "I watched it once; it was dumb. I don't like it." When you're a kid, it's zero or one. You're either like, "I love it" or "I hate it." And I remember like holding the phone up to the TV because I'd recorded like, listen, he hits the head off of this squirrel making fun of this lady. And I remember putting the phone up, and when I put the phone back, he hung up.
Oh, man. Aww. I thought you were going to seal the deal with that one.
No.
I remember reenacting that scene at like a lunch table multiple times with friends. Like it really stuck with me for a long time.
The sound of them hitting each other.
Once a day.
Take that, you dumb squirrel.
Once a day with my girlfriend, I do something I'm not supposed to, like, walk backwards down an escalator. Just something silly that's kind of breaking the rules. And she's from the Midwest and says, don't do that. And then I adopt this, don't do that. And then I showed it to her and think, this is why I love her. She's like, that's hilarious. And now says, Marge's don't do that don't when do I'm that. Misbehaving in public.
I feel like I've heard her do that.
Yeah, she does. You will hear her do it if we hang out at night. It's guaranteed.
Adorable.
There's a drink in me.
That's
it's going to happen. I don't know what this clip is, but it leads in a runner-up line of the show.
That woman. That screwball Marge Simpson. We've got to stop her. But how?
Drop an anvil on her?
Hit her on the head with a piano.
Stuff her full of TNT, then throw a match down her throat and run.
All your fancy degrees and that's the best you can do? It made me sick.
Alex Rocco's so good.
Yeah.
So great.
But that is like the 18th stupid executive board. Definitely the writers had a feeling about executives.
I do think, though, it's also like an old Hollywood-style guy dealing with Harvard writers, which you'd see later in other episodes where they play up the Harvard like qualities of these people. But
this is my runner-up line of this show, Jesus.
That's the joke.
You know, some of these stories are pretty good. I never knew mice lived such interesting lives.
That's great.
Well, and then the smart line thing happens, which that felt like... God damn. That felt like now. Like, it still feels like now.
Yeah. But have we hit the redesigned Itchy and Scratchy, or is that later in the episode?
From Alex Rocco's performance, him reading the hate mail, and like things are... Yes. Like, letters are exploding. Hurts.
I don't believe this. I will never watch your show, buy any of your products, or break if I see you crossing the street. Wow, that's cold.
And that's, again, like, that's the kind of... It's a TV show, or it's a video game, or it's a movie that got delayed, and it's like, you would write that to someone over entertainment? Like,
well, I guess it's not new. It's not just the comment section.
No, it's not new. It's just,
I think
you
had to be more devoted to write a letter and then mail it.
Well, it's also like, the anonymity's not there. It's like, here's my return address.
Here's my address.
Yeah. So the smart line thing, I feel like I've heard that argument now, the similar way of thinking of like, oh, you don't like violence on TV? You know, there was this thing called the...
Hold on. Yeah.
Hilarious. Now, what in the world is wrong with that, Mrs. Simpson?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Excuse me, he was addressing me.
I know, there's nothing wrong with it.
Excuse me, there is. I think that it's a bad influence on children.
Give me a break. I think that is a bunch of baloney. And here's why. In preparing for this debate, I did a little research and I discovered a startling thing. There was violence in the past long before cartoons were invented.
I see.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and there was something called the Crusades, yeah. For instance. Tremendous violence. Many people killed. The darn thing went on for 30 years.
And this was before cartoons were invented.
Oh, that's right, Kent. So much for your viewpoint.
That's so much for you.
Oh, man, that's basically every third Facebook post right now.
You are so right, Henry. It is like the fallacy. You can't care about X because Y is worse.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't care about anything because it's all fucked, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh,
so
God.
Much for your viewpoint.
And the fact that this is also from an era where broadcast primetime news was like the way you got your information.
Yeah.
It wasn't newspapers anymore. It was Nightline, and it was 60 Minutes.
And there
like,
weren't
this
podcasts.
The...
You just invited amateurs on your news show.
And like, this
time.
Was the level of discourse.
Local experts.
and then generations were raised as if all that was correct.
So have we gotten to the redesign Itchy and Scratchy
So
yet?
That's why they changed. Marge tells them to write in those letters, and then...
Sorry, I do have that, yes.
Is this Marge Simpson?
God, yes.
This is so good.
The Marge Simpson who fixes up cartoons can't be violent anymore?
Yes.
This is Myers. I'm here with the writers. Listen, you're so smart. How do we end this picture?
Well, what's the problem you're having?
Okay, here it is. Itchy just stole Scratchy's ice cream cone.
I'll make it a pie. Pies are easier to draw.
Okay, a pie. Anyway, Scratchy is understandably upset.
Uh-huh.
So we figured he could, you know, just grab Itchy and toss him in a bucket of acid.
But then we remembered
that this might be interpreted as violence, which is morally wrong now, thanks to you. So what's your big idea? How do we end this?
Let's see. Couldn't Itchy share his pie with Scratchy? Then they would both have pie.
And he looks at the wall.
It's different, I'll give you that.
I also, in the background, the storyboards they have,
yeah.
The zooming into Scratchy's mouth, like, the storyboards on the back are haunting. They're so evil and weird, like, what is happening in that moment?
And it's, yeah, and that's where chaos. All the animators are that we talked about. Like, that's where it's all of them hanging out with him. So, they get... friendly, and this brought me back to I listened to this really interesting like panel discussion that Brad Bird was on. Brad Bird was on there with the creators of Aqua Teen Hunger Force and the creators of South Park, and in it he has a quick diversion about how terrible the 60s Tom and Jerry cartoons were.
Dude,
and they were the worst.
I love them,
and,
but they I cannot believe they got away with that, and that was the norm in entertainment.
But he is complaining about how this was when they made Tom and Jerry nice, and he couldn't stand how they made Tom and Jerry nice, and they were friends, and they couldn't hurt each other anymore. And I feel like this bit here was a lot of him in it, or that same kind of extra grind of, why do Tom and Jerry anymore if you're just going to have to make them nice?
Are those the Eastern European ones you're talking about?
No.
Are they different?
I know what you're talking
that?
About. They just released those on DVD.
Yeah.
Like in a weird collection.
I know an animation historian, he was posting about that on Facebook.
I'm going to get it.
He was kind of mocking them, and I threw in a joke, and the guy who worked on those episodes, who's like 94,
whoa,
put a reply to my comment, like,
whoa,
we worked really hard on those, and I had to like apologize to a 90-year-old man,
Bobby,
about his bad cartoons. So.
Well, this is the product of the new Itchy and Scratchy.
Porch pals?
Back and forth. So happy.
Lemonade? Please, I made it just for you. You are my best friend.
Itchy and Scratchy seem to have lost their edge.
Oh, I think it conveys a very nice message of sharing. I think it sucks.
And my only argument against Marge, because I don't want to seem like not the guy complaining about PC police, you're complaining about a thing that wasn't meant to be enjoyed by you at all.
Yeah.
And so as a result, everybody who did enjoy them, you have now hurt, whether you found them to be morally redeemable or not. And I'm just a huge fan of giant violent cartoons. We all know this. The more violent, the more fun I'm going to have with it.
Also, the commentary brings up that they basically are gay now. Like, they're not...
Yeah.
It's not that they're kind
Look,
of pretty, but,
I
like,
get,
they're dancing together.
I keep reading that Ren and Stimpy book. That never went to my head when I was a little kid.
Well,
they
give
cat
Scratchy,
and mouse living together.
They give Scratchy eyelashes, and he's like, oh, thank you, Itchy.
The picture of Scratchy smiling, holding a glass of lemonade is among my favorite Simpsons screen grabs of all time. The dead look in his eyes as he's smiling.
You make really
ear.
Good lemonade, Scratchy.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And again, this is another one of my favorite clips when Michelangelo's David is touring the country and is making a quick stop.
The art event of the century.
the greatest masterpiece of Italian Renaissance, Michelangelo's David and a coast-to-coast tour of the United States.
Sir, which cities will be included in your itinerary?
New York, Springfield, and if we have time, Chicago, Boston, Los Angeles.
That's great. Yeah. I think we missed the scene, though. Like, all the children across the world are turning on Pitchy and Scratchy, at least in Springfield.
And going outside.
Yeah, and it was pointed out in the commentary, like, a lot of people at the time misinterpreted this, but it's like, no, we mean the opposite of this. Like, kids would not do this. Like, kids would not actually do this. They would still watch it no matter what. But
yeah,
we're
just
not.
Because, just because violent cartoons were gone, children would not turn into, like, what everybody dreams the 1940s children were like.
On behalf of a huge He-Man fan, yes, that is correct. We will watch anything.
I would watch any trash. USA Cartoon Express.
It was on TV, and it's 90 degrees with 100% humidity outside.
I wouldn't be happy about it, and I maybe complain to my friends that Itchy and Scratchy isn't as good anymore.
I would watch Mr. Wizard because it was on.
Though, when they do their outdoor fun stuff, that's one of the most, like, impressive animation things they ever
do. It's beautiful. Klosky Kuchipo got their stuff together.
It's such a long pan.
It felt like a reference because the gags were so specific, but maybe it's just
painting fence thing definitely was.
That's Tom Sawyer.
I just didn't know if, like, the whole sequence was from, like, an establishing shot of some 40s movie.
And then when they describe what they did that day, like, Bart says he is going to make a soapbox racer, which is why they later make an episode about that.
They totally mind that.
And then Lisa says she saw a grackle. And that made...
What the fuck is a grackle?
So, me as a little kid, that made me laugh because we were watching that episode right when we had moved to Atlanta, and in our new home, we were getting birds outside we never saw before, and my mom looked it up in a book like, oh, that looks like a crow. Oh, no, it's a smaller than a crow. It's a grackle.
I'm a big grackle fan, by the way.
So we knew exactly what grackles were.
And
like,
you understood why the joke was so boring. Without cartoons, you're impressed by a variant on a crow.
And Lisa went to bird camp eventually.
She did.
But yeah, we didn't see it, though.
But seeing a grackle is like nothing. Like, it's the same as a crow. It's just like a smaller crow.
They're super common, in some places, at least.
But Marge is still hard up, very proud of herself. Got Itchy and Scratchy sanitized. But I trying to introduce a clip, I don't know.
Snut is not happy with Michelangelo. Michelangelo.
Get dressed, Marge. You've got to lead our protest against this abomination.
This is my line of the show.
But that's Michelangelo's David. It's a masterpiece.
It's filth. It graphically portrays parts of the human body, which, practical as they may be, are evil.
I like that statue.
I told you she was soft on full frontal nudity. Come on, girls.
Practical as they may be, are evil.
That happens to me. It happens to me all the time. It's the animation fan. Every time anything Song of the South happens, it's like, look, Chris. I'm like, Dan, I'm not defending Song of the South. I just really like those cartoons.
This does get into America's Puritan heritage. Violence, fine. Any kind of sexuality, even done in the most tasteful way, no one should see it.
I like that they got away with putting a penis on TV. Like, they got to draw his penis.
Even though it's just, like, two lines. But
yeah, it's because it's nothing. Like, it's a two-inch penis. Like, it's meaningless.
It's frankly embarrassing.
Well, and I think because they would have drawn... Michelangelo was not going to put him erect. Like, it's not art. It's not the anatomy.
And then it proves that David was not a shower. He's not going to allow that.
That's true.
I think, like, this finale...
See one a week, so...
The finale of this episode, though, I think is coming down against any kind of fundamentalist belief where, with Marge, context is important. She's not against any kind of outlandish content or, like, inappropriate content. Like, the fact that it's a priceless work of art is important, but these cartoons were for her kids, so that was something that entirely different for her. So I don't know if you guys saw it the same way as
I don't entirely enjoy the end of the episode, even though I'm the guy who, like, I get kind of annoyed of all four of us by people constantly like, this isn't, I didn't like this. That happens all the time. Like, relax. There's no need to write a letter about it. You just didn't like something. But just as she's like, I guess I don't have a point. No, Marge still has a point.
Yeah, the ending seemed kind of like one person can make a difference, but most of the time they probably shouldn't.
Yeah, like that speech I didn't like at all.
And it's supposed to be kind of a funny, like,
You're free to complain about Itchy and Scratchy all you want and give your reasons why. Not give up entirely because you like something other people hate.
On the commentary, they say the strength of this episode is that they don't take a side, but I feel I like episodes with arguments or a specific position that they're taking about something. Like, I feel like it does kind of waffle by the end.
It felt like a South Park-y thing of, like...
Everybody's wrong.
Everyone's wrong, and we don't have a point.
So why bother?
Though I guess Marge, it's more like Marge created a monster she couldn't control, and that she was leading them in the right direction or a better the direction, and then they took control of it because they were more puritanical than she thought. I mean, that happens with movements.
Sure,
that happened with, like, Occupy
Everything.
Wall Street. It happens with, I guess Everything. It's maybe happened all in history. The darn thing happens all the time. Though I also loved Homer's, they're forced to
Wait, hold on. I got all this. Okay, this is Marge relenting.
Is it a masterpiece or just some guy with his pants down? That's our topic tonight on Smartline. Now, Mrs. Simpson, why are you against this statue?
I'm not. I think everyone in Springfield should see it.
Wait a minute. Aren't you Marge Simpson the wacko?
Yes and no.
Hold it. How can you be for one form of freedom of expression like
Italy.
A big naked friend over there and be against another form like Itchy and Scratchy?
He was never popular.
Good question.
Well, I guess I can't, which is a shame because I really hate those cartoons.
Oh, yeah? Well, what do you have to say to all those Marge Simpson wannabes out there who wish to suppress David's doodle?
I don't know. I guess one person can make a difference, but most of the time they probably shouldn't.
Well, I guess that settles that. I'd like to alert our affiliates that we will be ending our show early tonight. Join us tomorrow when our topic will be religion, which is the one true faith.
I like how unprepared Kent Brockman is. Yeah.
Well, they invited someone on without, like, are you against this or not? Like, no.
Where is his producer?
I like to think I'm of both minds. I think anybody who writes a letter about not liking a cartoon should get a fucking life, and it's usually a waste of time. But also, that ending just puts a sting in me. Like, I guess one person can't make a difference, and I'm not allowed to.
Well, just
not allowed to say what I don't
guys
like.
Guys just yelling at Marge, like, "Oh, you thought you could change things, but you were wrong."
Like, that was found it deeply unsatisfying, even though I am against Marge this whole episode. Like, just that you can't just relent like that completely. You're allowed to not like this cartoon and push for better quality.
Yeah, I guess the silver lining is children will be exposed to a stone penis, whether they like it or not.
It's a great cap from Homer.
Angelo's Dave.
Davin.
Oh, what's wrong, Marge?
Here the kids have a chance to see a great work of art, and instead they're home watching a cat and mouse disembowel each other.
Hey, don't worry, Marge. Pretty soon, every boy and girl at Springfield Elementary School is going to come and see this thing.
Really? Why?
They're forcing them!
Man, he takes such delight in that.
Well, isn't that nice?
Nice happy ending.
Yeah.
One other note I got from the commentary is they say that people want an Itchy and Scratchy spinoff. They talked about how this episode had more Itchy and Scratchy clips than ever before.
Yeah.
And get sick of them by the end. You're like, enough Itchy and Scratchy.
We have Hold That Feline, Kitchen Cut-Ups, and Messenger of Death.
And then just all those little clips that aren't even from a named cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much Itchy and Scratchy.
And having played the Itchy and Scratchy game, I never, ever want to see Itchy and Scratchy again alone.
When is the joke about with Quentin Tarantino and Violence is Everywhere? It's in Breakfast Cereals, man.
Oh,
like,
wait.
It's probably season 6 12. Or 7, probably.
Yeah, but what's the episode? Because it's about violence and...
No, oh, yeah.
It could be Itchy and Scratchy Land.
I think it's... No. It's later than that. It's,
well, we'll
the
get
The animation
there.
Style is like season 7 or 8.
Because
it starts with him hacking off his ear,
and
then they both dance. Then they kill Tarantino, and then they both dance. It felt like a... It felt more like a critic joke because, like, this week's episode directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah,
but I'm sure it was a Mike Reese.
To harp on the top, but as an animation fan, like, we grew up at a time when people started to complain about the violence of cartoons that we were watching from our parents and grandparents' generation.
Yes,
and you think about it now, and like, what are the violent cartoons? I think they're gone because people like Marge made their voices known, and I don't really miss. I love my old violent Looney Tunes, but like I'm trying to think of something I
didn't...
I
feel like Ren and Stimpy was the last gasp of that because they were trying to do the old Looney
they
Tunes
were.
Style. Like,
but you still couldn't even show people getting like hit in the face or whatever. Like, this was a crazy cut I noticed. I love old Popeye cartoons.
Yeah.
He
punches a baby in like the third cartoon. I love it.
He punches... every joke is he punches people so hard they explode into things. Like, that's how hard he punches people. But... I was watching on Nicktoons or the Nicktoon Fairly Odd Parents. they had one that was a parody of Popeye, but when it came time to punch them, they had to cut away because the rule was like, nope, no punching.
Man.
You can't show a fist connecting with another person because that will influence children too much.
Yeah, and so I just, for people who, like me, who might complain about people complaining about violence in cartoons, I think a compromise has been met slowly, and I think it's one of the best times for animation ever, and I haven't really noticed any loss of quality.
You mean like after 9 o'clock, anything goes, and you can, like, Adult Swim does whatever the fuck
I guess,
wants,
I guess. Yeah, pretty much. It's not the, I mean, I guess I'm talking about like when I'm watching Adventure Time or Steven Universe.
Oh, yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it's when I see those shows, it's like, I only thought about this right now, that like there's nothing violent in this and this is great. And maybe there's a happy medium. But there's also no adult violent cartoons. Maybe we should get on that.
Metalocalypse?
I guess that. What the fuck am I saying? Yeah, like half the team of Aqua Team dies every single time.
Yeah. I mean, the violence is not as elaborate or well animated as it was.
I think
in
it was a matter of children seeing this kind of violence.
Yeah.
I think in the 1940s, people were accepting of a certain amount of violence with cartoons.
So yeah. It seems between how easy it is to play games and movies that are equally as violent, the uniqueness of seeing like a cartoon character like. Get blown up is kind of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that a 10-year-old is even...
Do you think it holds
their attention as much when
if
they're
he
like,
picks the wrong flower
YouTube.
And it turns out to be a mallet and he gets smacked in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, we need to curtail these violent video games, right? I mean,
there we go.
They're the real problem. So I guess that's been Talking Simpsons going on that note.
I'm going
to
move it on to comic books. They're too violent.
Ooh, yes. Take that, Spidey. My name is Bob Mackey. I run the Classic Gaming Podcast, Retronauts. Check that out. Just subscribe to it. You'll love it. And I also write for US Gamer.
I haven't hit it in two episodes. I'm sorry.
I miss it. I write for usgamer.net. Check out my articles there. Who else wants to plug stuff?
Christopher Antista. I work over at LaserTime, lasertimepodcast.com. We also do a LaserTime pop culture show, which deals with a lot of issues that I've let out on these episodes.
Issues.
Yes, me being a grown-up man baby, not letting people censor my 1940s cartoons, all of that and more on the LaserTime show.
Hands off my tunes, Obama.
I did do something animation-related somewhat recently that I was very proud of, and that was to try and define every impression the genie made in Aladdin.
I love that
article.
And
I'm HENERYG on Twitter, and I also do a Cape Crisis, the comic book podcast on the LaserTime Network. And as you know, this episode is brought to you by patreon.com/LaserTime.
You did it, people.
We did it. We got Brett on as well. But if you want to listen to the first season of Talking Simpsons, it's only available to people who pledge more $5 or more a month on patreon.com.
And speaking of that Patreon, there were new goals added when I joined. Thank you, everybody. VG Empire is the video game music podcast I've been running for 4 years now. There's some new goals added that you guys have pretty much unlocked. So keep it coming, because there's more stuff there. But that just gives us more ability to make fun stuff and keep all this going. But VG Empire on Twitter and on iTunes, game music podcast.
Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we will finally enter the fabled year of 1991. We'll see you then.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.